Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You know, you thought you were pretty spiritual until a trial came your way, didn't you? And all of a sudden, a trial came your way, and you found yourself getting bitter and angry and rebellious and stubborn.
That was evangelist Steve Pettit, our guest speaker today on Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, our special guest, Dr. Steve Pettit, takes us to the book of James as we listen to a portion of a message called How to Handle Trials.
James chapter 1, we'd like to begin reading in verse 1. James 1, verse 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So let's put it real simple. These were God's people who were suffering because of the circumstances of their day. And so he writes them and he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or many different or diverse temptations. And then he says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to speak on the subject, how to face your trials. And I want us to see the seven steps in facing trials God's way. Notice, first of all, that we are to face God's trials that come in our life expectantly. Look at verse 1. He says, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. The very fact that he is saying scattered abroad meant that they were in the middle of a trial. They had been dispersed. They had been persecuted. They were scattered from their home, and they are living in a problem. And then the Bible says, brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials. First of all, folks, we should expect the fact that we, as the people of God, are going to have problems. You face trials expectantly. And then number two, how do you face trials? You face trials joyfully. I mean, folks, human nature does not rejoice in difficult circumstances. And yet the Bible says that we are to rejoice. Why? Because of what a trial does for you, folks. Because when God uses a trial, he's literally using it to change and make and mold your life like Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the trying of our faith is more precious than gold. So how do we face our trials? We face them joyfully. And then notice number three, how do we face our trials? We face them wisely. It says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this. It means that when you go through a trial, there's some things that you need to understand. The first thing that you want to do in the midst of a trial is to let your feelings control you, your emotions. But God never intended his people to be run by their emotions. He intends for his people to be run by their mind through faith in the Word of God. And then notice number four, how do you face your trials? You face them patiently. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, or it develops patience. Well, the word patience means to endure. And in order to be filled with faith, you have to be faithful. And how do you become faithful? You have to be in a place where your faith is being tested. How do we face our trials? We face them patiently. And then notice number five, how do we face our trials? We face them prayerfully. The Bible says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And what is God liberal with? God is liberal with giving you wisdom. You see, even though you have to learn to be patient, you don't learn to be passive. Because when you are going through a trial, you are very, very diligent in prayer. And when you pray, there ought to be two questions that you are asking God. Question number one is, God, what are you doing in me? Question number two, God, what are you wanting to do through me? How do we face our trials? We face them prayerfully, then very quickly. How do we face our trials? We face them humbly. The Bible tells us here in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falls, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Here he's talking about rich people who go through financial trials. And the lesson that is to be learned is that trials make us realize that we are all equally dependent on God, rich or poor. It means that there are no exclusions and no escapees from trials. You can't buy your way out of a problem. Because whether you are poor or whether you are rich, God still wants you to learn to draw your happiness and your contentment through Him. Because you know what, folks? God's people are so prone to find their joy in this world. And God allows you to go through enough trials to find out you ain't going to get it down here. You're going to get it by looking up there. Even the Apostle Paul in prison said, I've learned to be content no matter what state I'm in life, whether I abound or whether I'm abased, whether I am rich or poor, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And he found that his contentment in life was found in Christ, because in Christ dwells all the riches that I need of life. That I am complete and satisfied in Him. And so how do we face our trials? Humbly, because God is using them to refocus our attention back on Him. You know what a trial does? It reveals our own sinfulness. Because what does a trial do? It squeezes to the surface the corruption that's within our own heart. You know, you thought you were pretty spiritual until a trial came your way, didn't you? Then all of a sudden a trial came your way and you found yourself getting bitter and angry and rebellious and stubborn. I mean, I'm talking to some of you that have been deacons, Sunday school teachers, Christian school teachers, missionaries. And all of a sudden, you found out that after 20 years of being in the Lord, you know what? You're just as prone to becoming bitter and angry and cantankerous and selfish as you were 20 years ago. And guess what the trial proved? You still got a long ways to go. And you have not arrived. And you know what happens when people get content in their spiritual life? They begin to plateau off and they go nowhere spiritually. So God brings a trial in your life to get you back on your knees, to get you broken before God, to show you that you have not yet arrived and you still need to walk with Jesus Christ. How do you face your trials? You face them humbly. And then notice, you face your trials confidently. The Bible says in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. How do we face our trials? We are confident that at the end of this trial, there is going to be a blessing from it that will last forever. We finished traveling our fall schedule, and my wife and I went to Denver, Colorado for Christmas. During that time, my wife began to develop a lump on the left side of her neck, and we went to see a doctor, and the doctor said, you need to go see a surgeon, and we went and saw a surgeon. He said, you ought to have that removed. So my wife went to the surgery on the 17th of December and had the lump removed from her neck, and 2 days later, the doctor called us and told us that the lump was malignant, and my wife had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. And all of a sudden, our life was turned upside down, because on the 19th of December, I was planning to leave within 9 days to begin traveling for the next year. And our whole family was planning to go. And all of a sudden, everything was thrown up in the air. And we did not know what to do. We didn't know where to live. We didn't know what treatment to take for cancer. We didn't know where it was to be done. We didn't know anything. But after being in the ministry for over 15 years of evangelism, at least we learned this, that we needed to go to God bad. And we did. And we began to pray, and we began to ask God to give us wisdom of what to do. One of the things that we decided to do, that during that time, I would travel and live on the road while my family lived in Denver, Colorado, because my mother-in-law was there, my wife's sister was there, her four brothers were there. In other words, she had lots of family support. And my wife said to me, she said, Steve, I would prefer you to go on the road. And she said, if I get worse, then I'll let you know, and I want you to come back. And so I would fly in and out But I'll tell you what, it was a long, long haul. Out of 5 months, I was away from my family 4 months. Fact is, there were two periods of time where I saw my wife 2 days out of 40, and that was two different periods of time. I tell you one of the things I learned to do, I learned to really appreciate people that are in the military. I appreciated the men that had to live on a ship for 6 months and didn't see their wife. And I appreciate people that have to do that. And while I was on the road, there were many times that I felt in my heart that I felt discouraged and I felt down. There were times that I would cry myself to sleep at night. But I found that during that time that God comforted me through His Word. And there was one verse that I quoted in my mind over and over and over, and it was James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. You see, folks, you know what the confidence I have is that this life is really short, and one day I'm going to leave this life. You know what? Most of us think about dying every day, don't we? We really do. I thought about dying today. Did you? I thought about my life ending. And as I was praying this afternoon, thinking about how short my life is, thinking that one day I'm going to spend eternity with God, I want to stand before God and I want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I want to stand before God and I want the Lord to show me that, Steve, I allowed this trial to come in your life for a purpose, and God unfolds to me His plan. And He said, "Because you stuck it out, I was now able to fulfill this plan." And you know what, folks? There is a great blessing for people who endure trials and stick them out. In other words, whatever suffering you have to go through, it is well worth it, not only in this life, but definitely in the life to come. So how do I face my trials? Confidently. I don't look at this life. I look at this life as a very brief segment of all of eternity, and I want to be faithful to God right now. And I want to challenge, number one, every one of you is going to die one day. Every one of you. You're going to live this life. Soon your life is going to be over and you're going to step out in eternity. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? You can only go to one of two places, heaven or hell. Do you have the confidence that heaven is your home? The Bible says that we deserve hell because of our sins, but Christ left heaven, came to earth, died, rose from the dead, and went to heaven so that we could go to heaven through Jesus Christ only. Number one, do you know that you're going to heaven when you die? Number two, are you striving and persevering in your faith to be faithful? Because there are many of you who are in the middle of a trial, and there's a pull on both sides. God is on one side, the devil is on the other. And God wants to build your faith, and Satan wants to destroy your faith. And as Jesus Christ makes intercession for Peter, so He prays for us. And folks, we should strive and persevere to be faithful and confident in the midst of our trials. May God help us to face our trials with joy and confidence and prayer that He is in control.
Thank you for listening to today's message with our guest speaker, Evangelist Steve Pettit. For more information on Dr. Pettit's ministry, visit spea.org. That's spea.org. Dr. Pettit has been our guest today on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.